reading from the Acts of the Apostles. The apostles and presbyters, in agreement with the whole church, decided to choose representatives and to send them to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas. The ones chosen were Judas, who was called Barsabbas, and Silas, leaders among the brothers. This is the letter delivered by them. The apostles and the presbyters, your brothers, to the brothers in Antioch, Syria, and Cilicia, of Gentile origin, greetings. Since we have heard that some of our number, who went out without any mandate from us, have upset you with their teachings and disturbed your peace of mind, we have with one accord decided to choose representatives and to send them to you along with our beloved Barnabas and Paul, who have dedicated their lives to the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we are sending Judas and Silas, who will also convey the same message by word of mouth. It is the decision of the Holy Spirit and of us not to place on you any burden beyond these necessities, namely, to abstain from meat sacrificed to idols, from blood, from meats of strangled animals, and from unlawful marriage. If you keep free of these, you will be doing what is right. Farewell. And so they were sent on their journey. Upon their arrival in Antioch, they called the assembly together and delivered the letter. When the people read it, they were delighted with the exhortation. Verbum Domini. I will give you thanks among the peoples, O Lord. My heart is steadfast, O God, my heart is steadfast. I will sing and chant praise. Awake, O my soul, awake, lyre and harp. I will awake the dawn. I will give thanks to you among the peoples, O Lord. I will chant your praise among the nations, for your mercy towers to the heavens and your faithfulness to the skies. Be exalted above the heavens, O God. Above all the earth be your glory.
Dominus vobiscum. Lectio Sancti Evangelii secundum Ioannem. Jesus said to his disciples, "This is my commandment: love one another as I love you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I no longer call you slaves, because a slave does not know what his master is doing. I have called you friends, because I have told you everything I have heard from my Father. It was not you who chose me, but I who chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit that will remain, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. This I command you, love one another. Verbum Domini.
This is my commandment, love one another as I have loved you. So it's necessary to first understand what is meant by love here. Love is an act of the will. It's a choice to will the good of another. It's giving of oneself for another, sacrificing one's own interest for the other. We were created for a love that endures. And we can't attain true happiness without love. This is how God created us. And our Lord tells us today that there is no greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. And we know that's what he did for us. This is the model of the love that we are called to live, that we are called to imitate, when he says, love one another as I have loved you. St. John gives us something in his first letter to help motivate us to put this love into practice. He says, in this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the expiation for our sins. So we learn how to love others by first experience being loved, right? By experiencing being loved by God himself. So do we allow God to love us? It's been said that a saint is one who loves God, but even more so, a saint is one who is absolutely convinced, right, that they are loved by God. Our God wants to be united with us even before heaven. He doesn't just say, okay, you do your trial here, and if you make it, then you'll experience my love. He wants us to be united with him here in this life, right? And when we were baptized, we became partakers of the divine nature. He shares with us his own divine life. He told us, right, St. John tells us in his gospel, the sixth chapter, that the Lord said, if we eat his flesh and drink his blood, we abide in him and he in us, right? So he wants this, he wants to be united with us. And we can think also the Last Supper. He says, I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you. Right? He wants to be united with us, and he is so very powerfully and profoundly in the Holy Eucharist and Holy Communion. Our Lord said to St. Catherine of Siena that nothing pleases him as much as when we believe that he loves us. So it's this experience of being loved that helps us to love others. And when one is in love, there's a joy, there's an enthusiasm that overcomes even the trials that present themselves to us in this life. St. Paul gives us some pointers in his first letter to the Corinthians of what love looks like. And this, of course, is one of the most commonly chosen readings for weddings. It's a great reminder that love is patient, love is kind, love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. This is a very good examination of conscience. How have I held up in this? How have I measured up in following Christ in these ways? Our Lord says today to love one another as he has loved us. And we notice that he didn't say, love me as I have loved you. Love one another as I have loved you. So we show our love for God by our love for others. Again, St. John wrote in his first letter, he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. That's very challenging. It's not easy to love another. And the more time we spend with others, the more we see their flaws, the more we become aware of their weaknesses and their faults, and the more they see ours, right? The more they have to practice patience toward us. So it's not easy, and yet it's necessary for us to love, to practice this sacrificial love. St. Paul talked about the necessity of love in his letter again to the Corinthians, saying that if he had all sorts of gifts but did not have love, he was a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have all faith so as to move mountains but have not love, I am nothing. So love is necessary in following Christ. As we know from experience, the cross is also part of life. We should not be surprised when the cross appears in our lives. In chapter 2 of the book of Sirach, we read that if you come forward to serve the Lord, prepare yourself for temptation or trials. It's difficult. There is adversity. Life is challenging. But if we let that reality sink in, we will not be as likely to be crushed when trials come because we expect it to be difficult, right? If we expect that, we're not going to be crushed. Just for a secular example, I remember hearing, I think it was an interview that Coach Saban gave a couple years ago. And there's an encounter he had with Derrick Henry, one of his most well-known running backs. And he said it was like that particular practice day is about 104 degrees on the field. And he just said to Derek, he said, how are you doing, Derek? How are you hanging up there? And Derek said, I'm happy to be here, coach. You know, he knew it was going to be difficult and that the conditions outside were blazing hot. He said, I'm just happy to be here. He knew it's going to be a grueling process, right? So in the spiritual life, if we have this expectation, it's going to be tough, but the Lord, we know, will give us his grace, right, to persevere through. And we look at the big picture. This life is very short compared to eternity, right? And the Lord gives us all the graces, all the helps that we need to persevere through this life. So again, if we expect challenges, if we expect the cross, we're more likely to meet those challenges, right? To embrace the cross when it comes with the help of God's grace. St. Paul would say in the Acts of the Apostles that it's through many tribulations that we must enter the kingdom of God, right? We just had this reading this past Sunday in the Acts of the Apostles. And St. Paul knew the experience of suffering very well. In fact, that reading, when he had said that, knowing the context is very helpful because just a few verses, in fact, I think the verses leading right up to that passage, we hear that St. Paul had been stoned by the people and then they dragged his body out of the city because they thought they had killed him. And then he rose up, went right back into the city, and the very next day he was preaching again. And that's when he says, it's through many tribulations that we must enter the kingdom of God. Just to think of that visual, right? He's probably bleeding and bruised. He said, it's through many tribulations that we must enter the kingdom of God. So there was power in his words. He knew the experience of suffering and the power of God's grace working through his life. Our Lord said clearly that if we want to come after him, we must deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow him. And our love for him is most proved in times of trial and hardship. Love proves itself in times of difficulty. When we don't feel like praying or giving of ourselves in service to others, we know that love demands sacrifice, the generous gift of self. Cardinal Camastri shared a story in the past about an encounter he had with Mother Teresa when he was just a young priest and Mother Teresa was visiting Rome, and he really wanted to meet her. And he demanded to see her. He went to the convent where she was. And when she finally came to meet him, he introduced himself. And she was interested too. And she asked him about his prayer life. How long did he pray? What did his prayer life look like? And he had shared with her, again, as a young priest, that he said Mass every day. He prayed the liturgy of the hours, which all priests are required to pray. And he prayed the rosary. I think he'd said too, he was pretty content with his answer. He thought that she would be pretty pleased with his answer. But her response surprised him. She said, that's not enough. Love cannot be lived minimally. She then encouraged him to make a commitment to Eucharistic adoration, right, to spending time each day before the Lord in the Blessed Sacrament. And the young priest, he told Mother Teresa that he thought she would have asked him about how does he help the poor? You know, does he spend his time out helping the poor, his charity toward the poor? And she responded, do you think if I didn't pray, I'd be able to love the poor? It's Jesus that puts love in my heart when I pray, right? She doesn't just go out there. She doesn't have the energy to spend on serving others if she doesn't be filled, if she's not filled up with the Lord and his grace to begin with. She then told him to read scripture. She encouraged him that it's through scripture that we're reminded that without God, we are too poor to help the poor. So our daily commitment to prayer and our relationship with God is what fuels our love for others. That's what gives us strength to go out, to give of ourselves, to serve others. So as we prepare to receive the Lord's body and blood in the Holy Eucharist, we pray that we may love Christ with all of our heart in a generous daily commitment to prayer, and to keep his commandment to love one another as he has loved us.